sack? Is that all you get for your money? And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Becky Ivins, broker of Movers Real Estate, and you are listening to Real Estate Call In and Tell Me What You Want to Know show. How's that?
Perfect.
You've got an expert here on electricity and electrical things, and that is Alan Pruitt with Hayes Electric. So we're going to be talking about electrical things in your home, in and around your home. So, Alan, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. I'm great. I thought I would start with just telling you some of the things that we commonly find on home inspections, our most common things involving electricity. And you tell us, are they serious? Can you fix them yourself? And, you know, I do nothing electrical in my house.
Right.
Because that's a scary thing to me. But some people are a little bit more brave and they know what they're doing. So reverse polarity.
Okay. Reverse polarity. More oftentimes than not, you see it in older homes that maybe just had two prong plugs. You see it more often there than anywhere else. Reverse polarity simply means that the hot wire and the neutral grounded wire are on the plug backwards. And it's a simple fix. You just flip them, you know.
The plug still works.
The plug still works. There are times where reverse polarity could be a bad thing. I've had one instance personally where it became a problem. Reverse polarity plugs, years ago, you used to be able to just plug a plug in either direction. Flip it over, plugs in, flip it over the other way, it plugs in. In that case, some of the old metal lights with a metal outside casing, if you plugged into something reverse polarity, there is a chance that the outside of the fixture could be live. Wherein if you are touching, or if you're grounded somehow and you touch the outside of the fixture, you'd get a good shock.
Oh.
So there are instances where that can be a bad thing.
Okay. Well, that's one of the main things that's checked on an electrical. That's not one of the main things. That's just one of the things that is written up the most.
Sure. If you have it anywhere in your house, it will get found. It absolutely will get found. It'll get written up because that's one of the things they do is just go through there and check the plugs with stuff.
Got this little tool, and they plug it in, and the light, both lights come on or not, right?
Right, yeah. Okay. Yeah, you've got reverse polarity. No ground is a big one where people have, you know, taken their two-prong plugs out and put three-prong plug in because the old one was worn out or something like that, you know, and then you obviously get a light that says it's not grounded.
About when did the three-wire houses come about?
There were some in the 60s.
I think it was about the early 60s, yeah. Maybe, right?
Well, the two-prong plugs, I think, were still going in the 60s, but they did have a ground. It wasn't a ground wire. It was grounded through the conduit, so if you took the two-prong plug out and put a three-prong in, it would show as grounded, and it is. Small ground wires, I think maybe late 60s, mid to late 60s.
Okay.
So, and obviously on inspection reports, GFIs. I mean, that's shows up on every one of them just about.
And GFI stands for?
Ground Fault Circuit Interrupter.
Yeah. So some people say GFI and some people say GFCI, same thing.
Oh, yeah. You know, we're in Oklahoma. We use slang, so we just kind of cut it short. And
call it okay. So when do you have to have those plugs?
If you're in an older home, it's obviously grandfathered in. You know, older meaning they didn't have GFIs back then.
Yeah, but trust me, our home inspectors do not let it grandfather
no,
in.
No, they don't.
Because it's a safety. They write it up as a safety issue.
They make it sound you know, like it has to be done. Now, here's the thing. Most of the time it does need to be done, because the chances of you still having a plug, especially in your kitchen or bathroom, that is a two-prong and hasn't been replaced with something in a house that old is pretty slim. So once the plug has been replaced with a new plug, at that point it should be a GFCI.
Okay. So what are – I'll just throw out another thing that's often written up. The mast is not stable on the roof.
Yeah, that's the coming off of your meter outside, the pole that goes up through the roof sometimes. Sometimes it doesn't. A lot of times tree limbs, high winds, that kind of stuff will bend it or, you know, pull it somehow. And, yeah, that gets written up a lot, and it's a relatively simple fix. Really, it is.
In the newer houses, they don't have, I mean, like my house doesn't have a mast.
Yours is underground, probably.
Underground electrical. Yeah. So if it's overhead, the wire that comes from the pole comes over and hooks into the house.
Right.
On top of your roof.
Yep.
And like you say, it can, and I know what that cost, because it's different house to house, but it's typically about $600, maybe $900 in that range, right?
If it's just a bent riser, a lot of times we can get it done $300 or $400. It really just depends on the severity. If it's more severe, where we have to do more work than that, you know, if the meter's broken or something like that, then we're talking about inspections, replacing the meter riser. You know, the panel needs to be, you know, sufficient. You know, at that point, if you're having to replace too much stuff, then you just almost got to have to do the whole thing.
Okay. Well, we have a caller.
Okay.
Good morning, Shelley.
Good morning.
How are you?
Great.
So, do you have a question for me or for Alan?
I have a question for Alan. We know we have the trolleys going in downtown in that area, and just with trolleys and electricity, and how do they work, and what happens if they're caught in a tree? What happens?
Well, getting caught in a tree, I think, would be almost not capable of happening. I mean, they would be, well, in the reason being, trolleys
work. Well, a tree could blow down because we live in Oklahoma.
Right, yeah, okay. Okay, in that instance, I would go for it. if it were to a tree fall on it, or it somehow tree's leaning or a branch is hanging and it gets into it, just stay far away. And here's why. There's two types of trolleys, the way the systems work. There is ones that have rubber wheels, like a car, and they'll have two poles that come off the top, and one is a hot, and the other one is a ground. And it needs to make contact with wires above it, off with both poles. I think what we have downtown, they run on a rail system. Okay, and they have one pole on top, and it gets its ground through the rail system where it rides on.
Is that little thing on top of ground? What
is it? The one on top is hot.
Oh, okay.
The one on top is hot. So my point is, if there was contact with something on top on either type, best thing you could do is watch from a distance.
Well, okay. So we talked about this actually in our team meeting this week, and there's one wire, one of the streetcars downtown, that goes right through a tree.
I would imagine it would miss. That stuff has to be, nobody's going to miss that. I would imagine they would have to keep the tree trimmed quite well. The reason being that wire that is touching up there is 600 volts.
Oh.
Yeah. Now, it's not AC voltage like comes to a house. It's DC voltage. And to be honest, I'm not sure how they, you know, make the DC voltage set up, you know, to work that. But still, 600 volts is that's enough to put you under.
There's a reason that volt rhymes with jolt, right?
Right. That is enough to put you under. So,
okay. Well, like Shelly, thank you for your call.
Well, thank you guys very much. I listen to you every week.
Okay. Thank
thank you.
Okay. Well, we are here with Alan Pruitt with Hayes Electric. Mm-hmm. And Alan, you're the co-owner of Hayes Electric.
I am.
And you've got lots and lots of experience there because before you bought the company, you worked there for decades. Mm-hmm. So, if you have an electrical question, do call 840-1000. It's 405-840-1000. And we'll put you on the air to ask Mr. Pruitt about your electrical question or a comment. We'll return with more right after this break on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. You are listening to Becky Ivins, broker of Movers Real Estate Company, and I've got a special announcement to make today. We're in studio with Alan Pruitt, co-owner of Hayes Electric, and that has nothing to do, Alan, with my announcement.
Okay, I was wondering, I said my mom said I was special, but I didn't know what you were getting at.
We are running a little contest on our Movers Real Estate Facebook page. And to find that, go to Becky Ivins Movers Real Estate, not my personal page, which is Becky Ivins, I-V-I-N-S, but go to Becky Ivins Movers Real Estate and vote on which charity you want to receive the profit from our 100th closing this year. And it's between two. It's between Hope Retreat Ranch, which is a Choctaw-based equine therapy ranch and respite facility for other nonprofits to use, and Oklahoma Foundation for the Disabled, which is a daycare center for disabled adults. I serve on the board of the Foundation for the Disabled, and my brother started the equine therapy ranch and donated the land for it. So I'm kind of close to both of those. I support them both every year. I want you to choose which one of those you would like the money to go to. So go to Becky Ivins Movers Real Estate Facebook page, and the poll is right there. Like the page while you're there. Just punch like, and then vote for whichever one you want, and share it with your friends. If you're passionate about one of those agencies, just share it with your friends and let them vote. So we're going to hold this open until next, I think it closes next Monday, like a week from Monday. So vote on it. It's kind of exciting. It's thousands of dollars going to a charity.
That's good.
So that's a good thing,
that's
right?
That's a good thing.
Well, and we thought that might be kind of fun. We did, my little tiny but mighty team just closed our 100th transaction this week, actually. We closed a little ahead of schedule. We thought we wouldn't close for a couple more weeks, so we were doing this vote, but we're going to go ahead and hold the vote open so that we can get as many people as possible to vote on that. So Becky Ivins Movers Real Estate and on Facebook. Okay, we do have a caller. Okay. Good morning. Hi, Riley.
Well, hi, Becky. Thank you for taking my call this morning.
Sure.
This call is for Alan.
Shoot.
Alan, first of all, I'd like to preface what I have to say is that we've been customers of Hayes Electric for as long as I can remember. They're a great company.
Excellent. I'm glad to hear
it. This is not a paid political announcement.
Like my Facebook page.
Yeah.
I will. I like your Facebook page. So what I'm calling about is all of the information around the federal specific box.
Right.
Yes, and it has a story, and I don't want to, you know, get myself incriminated, but it has been scary, some of the stories. But I wanted to share my story. We have lived in Edgewater for about 11 years, And we knew about the Federal Pacific box, but never moved on wanting to replace it or upgrade it. You know, the money, I couldn't imagine the circuitry being moved to the outside. You know, it's like, I can't envision this.
Right.
But we had a receptacle begin to smoke and then to burn.
Right.
I mean, literally flames. And thank goodness I was in there when it happened. So I made the decision to move the Federal Pacific box. So I'd like to get your opinion, what you can actually say over the air, and what you can call me personally about Federal Pacific boxes.
Okay. Well, they have a reputation to... The worst part of the reputation is that some of the breakers, and you don't really know which ones, have a tendency not to trip if there's a problem.
That's correct.
Yeah, and so your instance, you know, and honestly, it really doesn't take much to get a breaker to trip. Typically, they do exactly what they're supposed to. If there's any kind of a short or something bad gets plugged into them, you know, they trip. That's what they're supposed to do. And some of the Federal Pacific breakers, they, you know, it might take them longer to trip. And so that's the reputation.
So what's the danger in that?
Well, breakers trip for a reason, and if there's a short or something that's bad is plugged into them and the breaker doesn't trip, typically what happens is the wire will heat up to a point that it burns in two or something like that.
So it can actually start a fire in your house.
It actually could.
As in Riley's case, where flames were coming out of a plug, right?
Yeah, yeah. Now, a lot of times I see flaming plugs periodically. A lot of times it may not have anything to do with the panel. They can some plugs get worn out, and you know, especially where you have things that are plugged in, for the most part permanently, and are a constant draw, and the plug starts to get old and worn out, you know, over the years, and gets loose in there, and then whatever's plugged into it is trying to make contact. Excuse me. And then what happens is while it's trying to make contact, arcing starts to occur in there, and it heats the plug up, and then the plug starts to melt, and that also could be what happens in Riley's case. But, you know, typically once it gets to a certain point of bad, the breaker should trip.
Mm-hmm. So what we've done, we've added to the circuitry because we have a hot tub. We've added a swimming pool. Then I have a little house out here that draws current because I have things in that house. So we have grown electricity rise and just basically overloaded. And this new circuit that's been put in, it's a beautiful silver box. I just go by and touch it and kiss it every day, you know.
You could have bought a car, right?
Yeah.
I could have bought a car.
Unfortunately, they only come in one color.
So you can't get in orange, huh?
No.
Well, so you end up with probably a 200-amp service, right, to your house, because most of those homes were built with 100,
mm-hmm.
Maybe 60. The early 60s is when Edgewater was built. So,
yes.
And they had lots of electrical things. So chances are that started out at 100-amp service. Do you think you probably increased it to 200?
I'd have to look, Alan, and see what I did. It really, you know, generally I'll have a conversation with the customer about, you know, what their necessities might be in the future. And you know, and they may not know. So I don't remember exactly what we put in his home.
Oh, come on. You don't remember exactly what every
come
customer
on,
did?
I got 10,000-plus customer base. I remember sometimes specifics, but not rarely.
Okay.
I am over the age of 40. So
yeah, Riley, we appreciate you very much calling in.
You're welcome.
And if you want to call in with a question or a comment for Alan or for me, just call 840-1000. I've got a couple of certificates here from Casa Perico. They want to buy you lunch, and I will certainly send that to you. And Alan Hayes, Alan with Hayes, right. Electric, will be here right after the break. Also,
thanks for calling, Riley. Appreciate it.
Answer your questions here on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. You're listening to Becky Ivins, broker of Movers Real Estate. To contact me, it is 722-3232. We're in the 405 here at 722-3232. You can always go to BeckyIvins.com and look at my favorites page. You can shop for property there. You can request a value on your house, and we're going to come out and look at it and help you determine a value and whether or not you're ready to market that property. My guest today is Alan Pruitt with Hayes Electric. Mama, come on, baby, tell me what's the word, a word of. Everybody say, when you hear the call, you've got to get it underway. It is time for our word of the day, brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. Robbins Roofing, you can trust them to choose the right material. They'll explain the difference in the types of shingles. They'll handle your insurance claims. So Robbins Roofing, a name you can trust, 728-3700, 728-3700. Our word today is arc fault.
Arc fault.
That is a hyphenated word. Arc fault.
It's two
ARC words. And then hyphen fault.
Yeah.
So what's that about?
Arc fault breakers you'll see in homes built in the last 10 years. Originally, the arc fault was for bedrooms, bedroom circuitry. And so all the bedrooms and anything in a bedroom had to run on this arc fault circuit. It's basically a different type of breaker that detects any arcing that might occur in your circuitry, you know, in those areas. It's another level of child protection also.
So it's not like a GFCI.
No, honestly, if you looked in your panel and you had a GFCI breaker, they would look very similar, but they do very different things.
Okay. So now, in the U.S., arc faults are one of the leading causes for residential electrical fires.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. If you have a new house, are you going to get those automatically?
Yes, it's automatic.
Okay,
it's a have to. Won't pass inspection without it.
Okay, and then what about an old house?
Old house,
experienced home,
an experienced home. If you are running new circuitry in an old home,
mm-hmm.
or an experienced home, you are required to put that on an arc fault breaker.
Now, is that in the box?
Yes, it is in the box.
So it's a breaker that's got a button on it. I think they're like yellow, aren't they?
I've seen them yellow. I've seen them blue.
Okay.
Yeah, but like I said, they're.
It's kind of like a reset button on a GFCI.
A test button.
Test button.
It is a test button, yeah. And
okay.
If you push the test button, it will trip the breaker to the trip position and shut the circuit off, and so you'd have to reset it.
Yeah, but at least you can see if it still works.
Right. Yeah, it's not a bad idea to test it, you know, maybe every six months.
So
you know,
when the time changes.
Sure. That's a good time to do it.
You check your fire,
your smoke detectors.
Yeah. And check your, and that's in your panel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is in your breaker box, in your panel, whether it's in the garage or outside or, you know, somewhere in the house, it is in your panel. You just open it up. They are obviously different than any of the other breakers in there.
Do you know something? I'm going to ask you a question about a 220 plug.
Okay.
This has nothing to do with what we were just talking about. But I need a 220 plug. I bought my husband a Smoke-O-Rama. That is like a pressure cooker with smoke to do barbecue.
Okay.
I know, but...
Outside, then.
It is. Well, I mean, you can run these inside. They have them in food trucks and stuff.
Oh.
But I don't think I want to run it inside. I don't want my whole house to smell like barbecue all the time. But what I'm thinking of is when we use this thing, we could just set it on the porch.
Mm-hmm.
Can I just put a plug in by my panel, and do they make 220 extension plugs to drag out there just when we're using that?
Okay, well, that's a two-part question.
Okay. Okay.
First part is, yeah, absolutely, you can put it below your panel. That's very simple.
Okay.
To do and inexpensive. Second part of the question, they do make like an appliance extension cord, but they're typically only about 6 feet long.
But you can build one of those, right?
We would have to manufacture one for that purpose, yes.
Okay, but basically you just put plugs on the two ends of a wire that carries 220?
Yes, yeah, so, well, the wire would have to be, you know, the right size, capable of carrying that kind of current. You won't find an extension cord like that.
I figured it would be one that you'd have to make, but right. Until I figure out if we're going to keep that and if it's a home, I don't want to go to the expense of putting in a whole plug.
Right.
I mean, outside or wherever.
Right.
We're going to do that. So, okay. Well, just a little hobby. My husband is quite the smoker and barbecue person.
I dabble a little.
Yeah,
bit.
Yeah. It's fun, but this is a 220 appliance. So.
Right.
Okay, Jerry. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning.
Hey, do you have a question for Alan or for me?
Well, I have a question for Alan, if that's okay.
Okay, sure.
Shoot, Jerry.
Alan, hey, recently in the storms that we've had, we had a close lightning strike out here.
Mm-hmm.
It was enough to rattle all the windows and upset everyone in the house.
Did you lose any low voltage things in there, stuff with circuit boards in it?
I don't think so. What I did lose is I run an external antenna about 30 feet. And
What's the antenna for?
TV antenna.
Okay.
And I have a coaxial surge suppressing unit on there that failed. It's, I guess, toast now. And the antenna that I constructed, and I used the ground that was, I used a part of an old telephone pole as a base for the antenna.
Uh-huh.
In the existing ground on the old telephone pole that was already there. And happy that my surge suppression unit failed. I think it's probably 750, about 1,000 joules.
Mm-hmm.
And, but my question is, This surge suppression unit that I used is simply plugs into the electrical system of my house.
Uh-huh.
Diverts through the ground. Should I use a grounding rod, or is there a better, more efficient way to?
The surge suppressor that you had, did it hook in through your panel or just plug into an outlet?
No, it just plugged into an outlet.
Okay, there's two things you can do that I would recommend. One, maybe to even keep it coming to the house, is maybe drive a ground rod at that pole where your antenna is.
Right.
And then use maybe like a number 6 bare copper, maybe to attach it to. And give it a good strong path. The other thing is, and anybody can purchase a surge/lightning arrestor that hooks directly into your panel. And they do work. They will now they'll only work one time, but you know, lightning comes at you with the intensity of the sun, so working one time is good enough. And so I would do that in my home. I have one of those on my panel, and then I also, you know, get a good protective strip for all of my TVs, computers, and that kind of stuff. Also, I kind of do double duty. I don't know that there's anything that's 100%, but the more protection you put, the better chance you have of saving all of your stuff.
Well, I am happy that I didn't lose anything else. I lost the surge suppression unit, of course.
Sure.
Well,
then it did its job, as long as nothing it was plugged into, nothing that was plugged into your strip, you know, failed. Then it did its job.
I think you're right there, and I wasn't sure that I had enough ground, and I was contemplating thinking I probably need to have a grounding rod out there to the pole and go straight in with that. Number six, pair of copper wires, what you're recommending, and that's kind of the same that you use in a panel, right?
Well, yeah, you'd use that in like a 100-amp panel, yeah. So, I mean, okay. That's a good solid copper wire to use, and would definitely help the situation.
Okay. Well, I certainly appreciate your advice there, sir.
Oh, thank you.
Well, Jerry, thank you for your phone call. And if you would, I know that you're in Noble, so if you want to drive up to Casa Perico's, you are welcome to hang on, and they've got a certificate for you for a free lunch. And we're going to return with our Smoking Hot Deals right after this short little break on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Becky Ivins, and you are listening to Alan Hayes. I keep saying Alan Hayes.
You've done it before. It's okay.
I've done it, yeah. But it's Alan Pruitt with Hayes Electric, and he might as well be a Hayes. He's
a long time.
You have been there a long time and know your business. So if you have a question about electrical stuff or about real estate stuff, just give us a quick call. We are at 840-1000, 405-840-1000. And remember to go to BeckyIvins.com. No, well, do that too. Look up Alan's number if you need electrical. It is 789-2065, 789-2065 to get to Hayes Electric. And to call me at 722-3232. We'll come sell your house. We will be your escorts and your guide to buying your property. And so give us a call. That's what we live for, is to help you find your home and to make it electrically safe. How's that?
Perfect.
Okay. Alan, we just have a couple minutes left, but tell us, what are some of the things that you're doing to upgrade electrically in homes? When people, it's all about fixer-uppers and adding things to homes and stuff now. So what are people adding to homes that where they need extra electrical power?
Most typically, it's recess can lighting. We've kind of gotten away from the typical trim and bulb in there. It just pays to use LED trims nowadays. There's no bulb to change. You just put this LED trim in there. The lights you get's magnificent, and that really, really upgrades a house by having that in there.
Yeah. So okay. Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
What else are you guys coming across? How about double ovens?
Well, those are kind of hit and miss. I mean, some people double ovens, some people single ovens. I think with appliances, I mean, if you're talking about selling points of houses or anything like that, it would be, stainless, or they have the new brushed look on some of the stuff. It's not really stainless. It's more of a bronze color. People are really, really getting into that stuff. I mean,
colors of stuff. Now, tell me about, I'm going to ask you about something about a refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
Refrigerators have a dedicated circuit. Is that right?
That is correct. Now, they won't in an older home, but if it's been built in the last 10 or 15 years, there's a good solid chance that it has its own circuit. And it's for good reason. You don't want to, if your refrigerator's running and kick your microwave on, you don't want it to kick the breaker. So typically in newer homes, microwaves, dishwasher disposal, refrigerator, all of that stuff has its own circuit for each item.
Oh. You know,
to keep it keep from having those problems.
Okay.
Now there should be only two circuits on the countertop for plugs. So, you know, if you've got a coffee pot, a George Foreman grill, and, you know, cooking bacon on the countertop and all that, then you could still trip a breaker, you know.
Right.
Just use a little less.
So if you're building a new house, more plugs are better than fewer plugs, and be sure you have enough circuits,
that's
right?
That's right.
Okay. Well, we do appreciate that you would tune in to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, and please join us again next week. But go to Becky Ivins Movers Real Estate Facebook page and vote for your favorite charity, whether it is Oklahoma Foundation for the Disabled or Hope Retreat Ranch in Choctaw, which is an equine therapy ranch. We'll see you next week with more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move.